Hi, and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show. I'm Atiq Ahmed Bhatti, a fourth-generation homeopath with over 20 years of professional practice in this field of healing. In the Homeopathy Health Show, I'll be talking all things homeopathy and natural, with guest interviews, tips and advice, and answering some of your questions. Homeopathy is truly a unique complementary system of healing, suitable for all ages, young and old. I'd love to hear from you and welcome your questions on homeopathy and how it can or has helped you. Feel free to email me at health@liketreatslike.co.uk or visit online at www.liketreatslike.co.uk. So let's begin today's show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Hi, how are you? Well, I sincerely hope and pray that you are well and in good health, and may it certainly continue to be that way. Over the last several episodes, I've had the good fortune to speak with James Fernley from Nature's Laboratory, who is the expert as far as research into honey and propolis goes. There is a very interesting article that has appeared in the media recently with regards to the honeybee, which I will share with you later on in today's show. Now, on the show every week, I have a special segment, as you know, called Time for Reflection. And this segment within the show is very much a moment to pause and relax, a moment to listen to poetry that is specifically written on health, wellness, or well-being. The feedback I've received is very humbling, and I very much thank you for it, and I'm happy to find that the poems are proving to be inspirational to you and motivational, so thank you again. The poems that are read out are really powerful, aren't they, with so many deep meanings. It is truly a remarkable form of expression of emotions and inner feelings. Now, I've received an interesting question on this where someone has asked that if they were to send in a poem or poems that they have written, would I be able to include them in the show? Well, the answer to that is an emphatic yes, of course. If you have a poem or several poems you've written that are on the subject matter of health and well-being or on healing, please do send them through to me and I will read them out in one of the upcoming shows. Over the course of a 60-year career, from 1783, when he stopped practicing the medicine of his day, until his death in 1843, Dr. Christian Frederick Samuel Hahnemann developed the homeopathic mode of medical treatment, which was as different from the prevailing medical practices as day is to night. Its basic premises were the use of similar medicines whose actions were fully known to the medical art practitioner, the individualized treatment of a person's disease, the use of one single, simple medicine at a time to avoid the unpredictable effects of combining two or more drugs, and the use of potentized medicines whose ability to act dynamically upon the patient's life force were thereby greatly increased. Now, another major achievement was Dr. Hahnemann's identification of miasms and his differentiation between the essential nature of a disease and the forms in which it manifests. During his long professional career, Dr. Hahnemann condensed his precepts on the philosophy and practice of medicine and the maintenance of health into successive editions of the Organon of the Medical Art. This book, the first edition of this book, was published in 1810, and the sixth and final edition was completed in 1842, the year before he died. Dr. Hahnemann did not write the Organon of the Medical Art only for medical practitioners. In fact, he prescribed the book itself to patients. So it's interesting to note here from this short extract, which I've taken actually from the Organon of the Medical Art by Dr. Samuel Hahnemann from the sixth edition, that Hahnemann prescribed this book. The book itself was a medical prescription. It was not prescribed to homeopaths because at the time of Hahnemann, there were no homeopaths except for Hahnemann himself, in the early stages, I mean. But he prescribed this book showing the details of homeopathy and the provings and the nature and philosophy behind homeopathy to the medical doctors of the day so that they may become aware of this incredible discovery that he had come across and that he'd researched upon. Now, I will be serializing Dr. Samuel Hahnemann's book, The Organon of the Medical Art, where I'll be taking extracts, key extracts of his writings and sharing them with you as a way, really, of us to understand truly the deeper meanings of homeopathy. And what better way, indeed, is there than to go back to the original source and the writings of Dr. Hahnemann himself, which have certainly stood the test of time. So that's something to look forward to in the upcoming shows. And this will be a lengthy series, of course. The book is a marvel, however, and I'm quite sure that you're going to find it extremely interesting and informative. I've been practicing homeopathy for close to 25 years now, and as you're probably aware from my bio, certainly, on UK Health Radio, that homeopathy has been in my family for over 80 years now, 85 years approximately. And before that time, before homeopathy came into the family, there is a long line of my forefathers being herbalists. And I found that, you know, the thing is that with healing, it's a very personal affair indeed, because anyone who is into the field of healing has this God-given gift of naturally wanting the best outcome for a patient. Of course, who would want to just give somebody something with the hope that it doesn't work? The objective and the hope is always that it will work and that it will bring peace and healing to the individual. So it really is been a fascinating journey, you know, over the last 20-25 years, and I've seen thousands upon thousands of people, patients from all over the world. The results are just absolutely incredible, and every day is a learning curve, is a means of inspiration. Every patient that gets healed becomes a source of energy for me, and this is the same for any health practitioner. And this, you know, is one of the wonders of the homeopathic art. It's absolutely incredible and absolutely phenomenal.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer, life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hi, this is Atik from the Homeopathy Health Show. I'm here to help and support you in your health and wellness journey, to answer your questions on everything homeopathy and much more. To get in touch, contact me via my email, health@liketreatslike.co.uk, or visit online at www.liketreatslike.co.uk. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram by searching for Like Treats Like. or just visit UK Health Radio online and you'll find my contact information under the Presenters tab. Homeopathy is a wonderful natural complementary system of healing, so let's work together for your health, wellness and vitality. Now, there's a very interesting article which I've seen recently on the Sky News feed, which was titled, "Fertilizers Confuse Bumblebees, Making Them Less Likely to Land on Flowers," according to a new study. It says in the headlines, "Exhaust fumes, nanoplastics, and viral particles that travel through the air could potentially create the same effect," according to the researchers. The article reads, "Bumblebees are less likely to pollinate flowers that have been sprayed with fertilizers or pesticides due to changes in the electrical field around the plants," according to a new study. Flowers use a diverse range of cues to attract pollinators, including color, sun, magnetic fields, odor, shape, texture, humidity, and recently discovered static electrical fields. Bumblebees, which have a positive electrical charge, can detect and are attracted to the negative electrical charge in flowers. However, synthetic chemical sprays alter these floral electronic cues, disturbing the bee's senses. According to the study published in PNAS Nexus. Now it goes on to say, while tests found that fertilizers did not change bees' ability to identify a flower through vision and smell, researchers found that when they electrically manipulated flowers to mimic the electrical changes caused by fertilizers and pesticides in the field, the bees' senses were affected. They found that chemical sprays altered the electric field around the flowers for up to 25 minutes after application, substantially longer than natural fluctuations, such as those caused by the wind. They observed that this alteration aligned with a 20-minute change in bee feeding habits, in which bees were less likely to land on an electrically manipulated flower compared to a control flower that was not manipulated. The study provides the first known example of noise made by human activity interfering with the electrical sense of dry land animals, said the co-study author Sam England, who is a biological sciences PhD student at the University of Bristol here in the United Kingdom. Sam says, "It's much like motorboat noise that hinders the ability of fish to detect their predators, or artificial light at night that confuses moths. The fertilizers are a source of noise to bees trying to detect electrical cues." He further goes on to say, "This widens our understanding of the multifaceted ways in which human activity is negatively impacting the natural world, which can seem quite depressing, but what it will hopefully allow is to introduce or invent solutions to prevent the adverse effects that these chemicals may be having on bees." Now the article goes on to say, "The researchers then mimicked a rain event to see if that would reduce the effect the chemical sprays had on the flowers. However, they again observed a prolonged alteration in the flower's electrical field from the chemical sprays. Therefore, the long-term effects of the changes remain uncertain. Exhaust fumes, nanoplastics, and viral particles that travel through the air could potentially create the same effect," the study concluded, noting that the modifications caused by human-made chemicals carry implications beyond pollination. So that's indeed a very interesting article, is it not? And it just begs the question that the natural world is so delicate and everything is in so much harmony when it is operating correctly. But we need to do so much more to ensure that the natural world continues to thrive and progress and not to become obsolete, to be honest. The way things are going at the moment, you know, climate change is such a big issue at the moment. And this link, you're probably wondering how this is linking into homeopathy. Well, because homeopathic remedies are made from plant and mineral sources. So if we're having issues as far as bees and honey and propolis and pollen, and these, you know, electric fields and the fertilizers and pesticides and insecticides and all these chemicals are interfering with a natural process, they're of course going to be interfering with the growth of plants, which, you know, 60% of homeopathic medicines around the world are prepared from fresh plants, the roots or the actual plant itself or the leaves of the plant or the petals. So, you know, this has far wider reaching implications than any of us can imagine. And a great deal certainly needs to be done by everyone. Continuing with my special series on the history and development of homeopathy, we now move to short biographies of eminent leading homeopaths who carried Dr. Samuel Hahnemann's work on homeopathy forward. Today's biography is on Baron Clemens Maria Franz von Bonninghausen, who was born in 1785 and passed away in 1864. Clemens Maria Franz, Baron von Bonninghausen, was one of the most noteworthy of the early practitioners of homeopathy. Born in the Netherlands on March 12, 1785, on the ancestral estate of Heringhaven in Overijssel, his lineage was traced through Westphalian and Austrian ancestry, one ancestor having been appointed as field marshal by Ferdinand II of Austria in 1632. His early life was spent in the open, and he entered rather late upon his education, but after once starting, his progress was rapid. He graduated from the Dutch University of Groningen with the degree of Doctor of Civil and Criminal Law on August 30, 1806, and thereafter, for several years, he filled increasingly influential and arduous positions at the court of Louis Napoleon, King of Holland, remaining in the Dutch civil service until the resignation of the king on July 1, 1810. He then returned to his home and devoted himself to the study of agriculture and botany. He married in 1812 and removed to his hereditary estate of Darup. Through his interest in the development of agricultural resources, he came in touch with the most prominent agriculturists of Germany, and he formed the first agricultural society in the western part of Germany. In 1816, he became president of the Provincial Court of Justice for Westphalia in Coesfield, which position he retained until 1822. About this time, he became one of the commissioners for the registration of lands, and his constant travels gave him ample opportunity to study the flora of Rhineland and Westphalia, and he published a book on the subject, Prodromus Florae Monastriensis. In 1824, he became director of the Botanical Gardens of Munster, retaining this position for several years, and received much distinction from his botanical writings. In 1827, he suffered a derangement of health, which had hitherto been excellent. Two of the most celebrated physicians obtainable declared this to be the purulent tuberculosis, and his health continued to decline until the spring of 1828, when all hope of his recovery was given up. At this time, he wrote a farewell letter to his close botanical friend, August Weihe, M.D., who was the first homeopathic physician in the province of Rhineland and Westphalia. Though Bonninghausen was ignorant of the fact, their whole correspondence having touched on botanical, not medical, subjects. Weihe was deeply moved by the news and answered Bonninghausen's letter immediately, requesting a detailed account of his symptoms and expressing the hope that by means of the newly found curative methods he might be able to save a friend whom he valued so highly. In response to the reply which Bonninghausen sent to this letter, Weihe sent some pulsatilla, which Bonninghausen took according to the directions, following also the course of advice which Weihe gave him regarding hygienic measures. Bonninghausen's recovery was gradual but constant, so that by the end of the summer he was considered as cured. This event bred in Bonninghausen a firm belief in homeopathy, and he became an active missionary. He revived his former knowledge of medicine and began to practice. But he had no license to practice as a physician, and for this reason he devoted himself to literary labours upon subjects connected with homeopathy. Most of the systematic works written by Bonninghausen concerning homeopathy were published between 1828 and 1846. By this time, Bonninghausen's fame had spread to France, Holland, and America, and he had gained many converts to the new doctrine of healing among physicians in these lands, by correspondence and literary efforts, which were extended in the effort of making the work of practicing homeopathy easier. At this time, you will remember, there was no short way to approach the study of homeopathy. No repertories, save a brief one in Latin by Samuel Hahnemann himself, had been published as an index to point the way to the indicated homeopathic remedy, and many hours must have been devoted to the study of remedy after remedy before the true picture was seen. King Frederick Wilhelm IV, under date of July 11, 1843, issued to Bonninghausen a document empowering him to practice medicine without any restraint. From 1830, Bonninghausen was in close touch with Dr. Samuel Hahnemann until the close of Hahnemann's life, and as long as Bonninghausen lived, he kept in close touch with all those practicing homeopathy. However, his literary work was much hampered by the permission to practice freely, and he did not publish his books as frequently after that event, although he spent much time at that labour. It is interesting to note that his earliest works found instant circulation among those interested in the new doctrine, and almost every practicing homeopath had Bonninghausen's works in his library. Bonninghausen's works are as follows: The Cure of Cholera and Its Preventatives, Repertory of the Antisoric Medicines, with a preface by Dr. Samuel Hahnemann himself, Summary View of the Chief Sphere of Operation of the Antisoric Remedies and of their Characteristic Peculiarities, An Attempt at a Homeopathic Therapy of Intermittent Fever, Contributions to a Knowledge of the Peculiarities of Homeopathic Remedies, Homeopathic Diet and a Complete Image of a Disease, Homeopathy, a Manual for the Non-Medical Public, Repertory of the Medicines which are not Antisoric, Attempt at Showing the Relative Kinship of Homeopathic Medicines, Therapeutic Manual for Homeopathic Physicians, Brief Instructions for Non-Physicians as to the Prevention and Cure of Cholera, The Two Sides of the Human Body and Relationships, The Homeopathic Domestic Physician in Brief Therapeutic Diagnosis, The Homeopathic Treatment of Whooping Cough in Its Various Forms, The Aphorisms of Hippocrates with Notes by a Homeopath, and Attempt at a Homeopathic Therapy of Intermittent and Other Fevers, especially for would-be homeopaths. After the proclamation empowering him to practice medicine, Bonninghausen founded the Society for Homeopathic Physicians in Westphalia, which flourished for many years under the interest which was roused in the homeopaths whom Bonninghausen drew about him. He also was made member of nearly all the existing homeopathic societies, the Western Homeopathic Medical College in Cleveland in 1854 gave him an honorary diploma, and the Emperor of France appointed him a Knight of the Legion of Honor on April 20, 1861. Bonninghausen was a close friend of Adolf Lipp and also of Carol Dunham. Both of these men expressed their appreciation of the work Bonninghausen had accomplished in Volume 4 of the American Homeopathic Review. Bonninghausen for many years lived in Munster. He received patients daily from 9 to 2 o'clock, From 2 to 5 he spent in walking about the suburbs and in the botanical gardens. He lived to attain the age of 79 years, dying of apoplexy on January 26, 1864. No one man except Hahnemann has left so deep an impress upon the literature of homeopathy or has exerted so great an influence in favour of the homeopathy taught by Dr. Samuel Hahnemann as did Bonninghausen. His therapeutic pocketbook, first published in 1846, has been a guide to many, and other of the works of his scholarly pen have also been held in demand by the believers in pure homeopathy. He devoted himself especially to presenting the materia medica, so that the chief characteristics of each remedy might be thoroughly understood by the practitioner, and his writings are mostly devoted to that object. The great literary work of his life was probably his editorship of the Aphorisms of Hippocrates with the Glosses of the Homeopathist. Of his seven sons, the two eldest chose homeopathic medicine as their profession, which was a great joy to him. The elder of these sons practiced for a time in the neighbourhood of his boyhood home, later going to Paris, where he married the adopted daughter of Hahnemann's widow. He lived with Madame Hahnemann and her daughter, and had access to Hahnemann's library and manuscripts. So that was a short biography of a really great homeopath. Bonninghausen's work on homeopathy opened up many new avenues and opportunities for the physicians of his time. May God bless his efforts, and may he rest in peace. And now it's time for reflection with poems of healing. This one is called When Tomorrow Starts Without Me. When tomorrow starts without me, and I'm not here to see, if the sun should rise and find your eyes are filled with tears for me, I wish so much you wouldn't cry the way you did today, while thinking of the many things we didn't get to say. I know how much you love me, as much as I love you. And each time you think of me, I know you'll miss me too. But when tomorrow starts without me, please try to understand that an angel came and called my name and took me by the hand and said my place was ready in heaven far above, and that I'd have to leave behind all those I dearly love. But when I walked through heaven's gate, I felt so much at home when God looked down and smiled at me from his great golden throne. He said, "This is eternity and all I promised you. Today your life on earth is past, but here it starts anew. I promise no tomorrow, for today will always last. And since each day's the same way, there's no longing for the past. So when tomorrow starts without me, don't think we're far apart. For every time you think of me, I'm right here in your heart." This poem was written by David Romano. Time to welcome this week's special guest on the show now. I'm delighted to welcome a very good friend of mine, Mubashir Khan, who is an avid user of homeopathy for himself and his family. Welcome to the show, Mubashir.
Hi, Atik. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. It's really great that you're able to join me today, and really looking forward to hearing from your first-hand experiences of homeopathy and, you know, natural medicine as such. If you can give an introduction to yourself.
Yeah, sure. So Mubashir Khan is my name. Born in UK, London, been here all my life. And work-wise, I've been in the field of cybersecurity and risk management for over 20 years now. I graduated in mathematics and computer science back in the 90s.
Wonderful. And also, we mustn't forget all the local community work that you get involved with, looking
Of course.
after events, taking part in the annual puppy appeal, raising money for charity, blood donations, feeding for the homeless community, and so
Yeah,
forth.
yeah.
Isn't it so much going on, isn't there?
Of course, yeah, very busy. Yeah.
It's very rewarding as well. And I think that's Russia, that's something I also wanted to share with the listeners. That and I remember in a few episodes previously that I did speak about this, that when you're in the field of serving humanity, and certainly homeopathy is one of those fields, then so many other avenues open up. And this is a great blessing in itself that we're able to give time back to the communities, that we live in and around, isn't
Definitely, yeah, definitely.
it?
I fully agree.
So, tell me about your interest in homeopathy. I am sure that I'm going to be fascinated by this.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest, I think many years ago, my mother used to say to me, take homeopathy for hay fever, because I've been suffering from hay fever since I was a child. And I think I was very young at that time. And I said to my mother, look, these are like sugar pills. I don't really, they're not working. They're sweet, they were nice tasting, but I didn't take it so seriously.
That's what all the
Yeah.
children actually say.
But I at that time I never really had much faith. But I think for me, the moment of truth for me actually came in 2007, where I went to see a homeopath by the name of Dr. Abdus Salam Pathan. And he was an old man, been practicing for about 50 years, and from India originally. And I had chronic tonsillitis. And I remember this sore throat that I had at this particular time. I've never had this type of pain before. The pain I was having was as if when I swallowed, as if there was a small stone in my throat.
Right.
And it was so painful that when I looked at it in the mirror, when I looked at my throat in the mirror, and I opened my mouth, it was so inflamed that I couldn't bear looking at myself. It was that bad. And I was concerned because I've never had a sore throat like this before, ever in my life. This was so painful that I've honestly felt like there was a stone in my throat. And I was very concerned that this could be something serious and I need to get it checked out. And prior to this sore throat, yes, I would have tonsillitis, inflamed tonsils. The doctor would give me antibiotics, but that was nothing. It never really did anything for me. But this time was the first time I had such an excruciating, painful sore throat. And I went to see this homeopath and he gave me some remedies. And, he was very old school, classical homeopath, minimum dose, single dose, very Hahnemann, sort of centric. He was a very sort of he had a regime that he liked to stick to, and he would put them in paper sachets and a little paper bag and put a little cross on there and all these things. So anyway, he gave me these remedies, and I went home and I took just one sachet. And in that sachet was, I think, maybe one or two pills, and that was it. And I remember the following morning, the pain had gone completely. And I was shocked. I could not believe. This for me was a moment of truth. And from then on, I started studying homeopathy. I started reading, and I started reading other books, and it was fascinating for me. And from then on, my journey for taking homeopathic medicines for pretty much any sort of, whether it's acute or even chronic issue, I would reach out to. I have, we as a family now have a box at home with all the common remedies that we just reach out whenever we need something. So I think that's, in answer to your question, that's where my interest began.
Fascinating. How long ago was this again?
2007.
Okay, so a good 15 years now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
So after your sore throat vanished, I assume that the results were quite rapid as far as your healing was concerned?
Yeah, I think so. I had a chronic problem. And after I took this medicine, you know, I was on a course, and I found that the recurring issue slowed down. I wasn't having outbreaks of sore throats. Yeah. So I felt that my inner strength, my inner immunity, if that's the right word, was becoming more resilient, and I was able to fight back even without taking homeopathic medicine. My body was able to heal itself. Yeah. And this is the precept, you know, this is the whole idea, the whole philosophy, the whole teaching of homeopathy is to ignite something inside, you know, and to enable the body to heal itself.
Incredible, isn't it? It really is. Something that was founded over 200 years ago by a very compassionate doctor, Dr. Hahnemann. And, you know, he came across this out of curiosity as well. But look at it today. I mean, it's hundreds of millions of people are using homeopathy. There's approximately 1,500 different types of homeopathic remedies. And like yourself, there are so many advocates now, ambassadors, you could call them, for homeopathy. And it works. It works. And the best trials, the best clinical trials, are actually the patients themselves who are using different remedies.
I fully agree. And I think the interest, the practice, the studies, the trials in homeopathy and homeopathic medicine is increasing.
The fact that it's so powerful, and yet it tastes delightful because it's made on, you know, globules, which are made of sucrose or lactose. You've got, obviously, for diabetics now, lactose-based tablets are used as well. So it really is something which is, not only is it, let me rephrase it, it's a medicine that you can feel comfortable taking.
Yes.
You know, that's what I would say. It's a comfortable medicine that works.
Yeah.
So, you know, fascinating. And thank you, of course, for sharing that very personal story of healing. And I wanted to move forward and ask you, what's the success been with homeopathy with your family members? You mentioned that you have a homeopathic box. It's the must-have nowadays, I think, for every household, where common remedies like arnica, belladonna, gelsemium, and so forth are there for coughs, colds, fevers. So what are the most frequented remedies that you use?
Yeah, and there are quite a few, actually, favorites of mine that I always reach out to. For example, in the winter season, we have colds and flus. And when I get a cold, it always starts from the throat. It starts from the throat. And then I get a runny nose and sneezes, then a heavy head, and then it hits my chest, get a horrible cough, and it plays its cycle. It could be 2 or 3 weeks. So for my throat, the moment I feel that pain in the throat, I reach out to, there's a combination remedy, Hepasulf, Belladonna, and Baryticarb. These three in 30 potency I take, and it works like magic, to be honest. Now, the cough that I mentioned, this can be, for me, it can be lethal. When that cold hits the chest, so what I do is, a great remedy, a favorite of mine, is Bryonia plus phosphorus in 30.
Very effective remedy combination, indeed.
Yeah. Now, there are many for coughs, but for me, this works beautifully. And in fact, if I take it at the right time, I won't get the cough. And if I get the cough and I take it, it treats it, right? So so that's that. Sometimes, you know, I may experience hyperacidity, you know, stomach ache, maybe a cramp in the stomach area. I reach out to this remedy called Colocynthis. in 200. Powerful. It's like a magic bullet. You know, painkiller, bang, that's it. I take it and the pain's gone.
Colocynthes, it's interesting you mentioned that, because it's a remedy that has very, it's known to be an antispasmodic remedy as well, and it works very well for other things, including sciatica, for example, and general cramping. Could be muscular, could be stomach related. It's a good one you mentioned there.
I'm just trying to think. I've forgotten any. These are my most
the must haves.
Yeah, the must haves. The must. Yeah. I mean, of course, arnica and aconite together is often also good. But yeah, I mean, these are, I would say, so the stomach aches, you know. Oh yes, of course. How can I forget arsenic? So stomach problem, something, you know, strange happening with the bowels. I reach out to arsenic straight away.
Arsenic album,
because for me, this is like, I treat this remedy as a catch-all for a stomach problem.
Mm.
Yeah, I may not know what the issue is, but there's an issue. Right, so I'll reach out to that, and great. And then I might do some reading into some specifics. But yes, I can't forget arsenic.
Arsenic is a very, again, another polycrest remedy, but it's absolutely amazing, like you said, for stomach issues. And this includes bloatedness. It especially works magic when you have the odd bout. And we've all had this, by the way, you know, at some stage in our life, when you have an odd bout of food poisoning. It's really effective for stomach flu. You mentioned the winter season, you know, and stomach flu can also occur. It's really, really good for constipation. And from an emotional perspective, Arsenicum album is a beautiful remedy when used for any type of anxiety, especially when it's coupled with aconite. So you mentioned arsenicum and aconite in 200C, which I know you're probably is the one that you've got as well, but it's also very effective for removing anxiety, panic attacks, lack of confidence, it's a must have.
I want to relate a story, very very short story, because it involves you, right? Some years ago, I sat down to have lunch with the family, and it was a nice meal. It was codfish with some vegetables. Spicy codfish, yeah.
Delicious.
And what I did was I put some vinaigrette on the salad. And I tasted the meal. It was very nice. But within minutes, my stomach started to feel strange. And I started to feel sick, and there was a pain. And I remember my wife was asking me, you know, are you okay? And I said, no, I'm not actually. And I sat down on the sofa, and the pain started increasing, and I had to lie down on my stomach. And I remember by the minute, this pain was becoming so bad that no position, whether standing up or sitting down or lying down or bending down, no position for me was comfortable. And I think there's some sort of food poisoning must have happened. But I remember that I sent you a text, and I said, you know, emergency, I need help. Right? Can you prescribe something? And you prescribed arsenic 200, colocynthis 200, and epicac, another remedy, 200, and alternate, just take these. And again, within minutes, I started feeling relief straight away with these three remedies. So it's amazing. And I had them, you know, it's just a... it's potluck that these remedies just happen to be sitting on the shelf. Well, my body went into some sort of spasm reaction. Mm. And it's by sheer God's grace that I happen to have those medicines at my disposal. And they were fresh as well, meaning that they were recently, I bought them recently. You know, and I happen to have this problem, right? So no, that's another, for me, another moment of truth. Where I can remember that very sharply, as if it happened last night, you know.
Brilliant! That's really, really positive. I love stories of healing, because not only does it motivate me, but certainly the purpose of today's chat or talk with you was that in its first-hand experience. And I think that's really, really good and positive for others to hear, you know. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today and sharing, of course, your first-hand experience of using homeopathy and how it has helped you and your family. I do hope you'll come back and talk to us some more in the very near future. I very much look forward to that.
Yes, thank you, Adik. It's been an honor to come on. Very interesting to talk about my experience. And it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, stay safe and take care. And I look forward to speaking with you again very soon. Thank you.
Yes, definitely. Thank you very much.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And that was Mubashir Khan talking about how homeopathy has helped and continues to help him and his family and his close ones and loved ones. I love the stories of healing because they, you know, first-hand accounts always carry so much weight, and you can feel the passion when people share their stories. It's just so wonderful, stories of healing. And if you have any stories of healing that you'd like me to share with others to provide them inspiration, please get in touch, health@liketreatslike.co.uk, or you can contact me by going to ukhealthradio.com and you'll find me under the Presenters tab. Now I've got time to fit in one question that has come in. The question is, what is the best homeopathic medicine for acute or mild indigestion after a heavy or rich meal? There are actually three homeopathic remedies that work as a triad. They work wonderfully well for mild or acute indigestion. These remedies are carbo-veg, China, and lycopodium. When combined and taken in a 30C potency, they prove very effective here. Now, this combination can be taken every 15 to 30 minutes for several doses until relief. So thank you for that question, and I'll be answering many more next week. I do hope you've enjoyed the Homeopathy Health Show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Tune in next time for more things homeopathy, interviews, and segments on the healing possibilities that homeopathy can bring you. And don't forget to visit UK Health Radio online at www.ukhealthradio.com to see the many other amazing shows available to listen live and on demand. Or why not download the app from the iOS and Android stores? Until next time, stay safe and take care.